This is message 3 of the Bangkok Conference, October 2015. Verses are 1 Timothy 3:15-16, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 21-22, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, Hebrews chapter 8 verses 1-5, chapter 9 verse 11 and 23-24. Chapter 11 verses 9 and 10 and verse 16, chapter 12 verses 22-29, Revelation chapter 21 verse 2 and verses 10 and 11. Yes, we look to the Lord all together, that through His Word and also through His Holy Spirit, He would shed light upon us. This morning, we saw that in order to worship God, we must be in our spirit. And we must also be in the reality. In the Chinese translation, it says sincerity, but that translation is not quite right. Even if you are very honest and sincere, but if you do not have any offering to bring with you, that is why this word means reality, and it also means the truth. But to worship God is not just giving a message and speaking about the truth. Because we know today that Jesus is the true reality and the truth. Tomorrow we would fellowship concerning this point. But today we still need to see the matter of Jerusalem, because the place is very important. It is God's choice. It is not that man wants to go somewhere to worship and he just goes anywhere. No, the Israelites had 12 tribes. Where should they go to worship? At which tribe? If it were up to their choice, certainly they will fight. Definitely. Why should we go to your place? Why should it be in Judah? It's so far away. I live in the central part. Isn't it better? They come from the north and the south. It's closer for both of them. Isn't that right? Do you agree? You don't agree. Now, what do you want to do? You have to ask Him who's up there. Whatever He says, where it's to be, that's where it's to be. It is not man's choice. We people have lots of choices. We each have our own viewpoints. But if you want to worship God, you must do it according to what He has ordained. Of course, you can do what you want to do. You are free. You may do so. But whether or not God accepts it, it's for Him to decide and not you. Do not think it is all right for you to do according to your own will, because you have the freedom. But you should not forget, God also has His views. Besides, you are there to worship him. Then you must do according to his word. So in the Old Testament age, God chose Jerusalem. Besides, Jerusalem is the city of that great king. It's God's choice, not man's choice. I hope we all have such a reverence, a fear of the Lord, that we would come before him to ask him. So in the Old Testament age, it was the earthly Jerusalem. It is over there in Palestine today, in the nation of Israel. Many people like to go there to look around, but there's not much to see there. Truly, there's not much to see. Because that's the earthly one. Besides, to be on that ground, Jerusalem is not the temple right now, but it's a mosque. What is there to see? Do you want to go see it? Besides, it's very dangerous. There might be explosions here and there. Yes, you may go see. Go take a look. But what are you going to see there? Are you going to look at God's temple? Where is it? It's not there anymore. It's not there. Because today, Jerusalem is heavenly. It's not earthly. We have to see this clearly. When you take a plane, for you to take a plane to fly to Jerusalem is very easy. But is it easy to go take a look at the heavenly Jerusalem? Actually, it's not that hard either. You have to be in spirit. It's only then that you can see. If you're not in your spirit, you cannot see. That is why Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of the heavens. Not to mention entering in. You cannot enter in. You want to go see the heavenly Jerusalem? Then you must be born again. This is what John chapter 3 tells us. Based on your flesh, you cannot see it and you cannot enter in. You can't even dream about it. You just cannot see it. But if you're born again, your spirit has become alive. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And you are a person who lives in your spirit. Then it is very easy for you to see. And you can also enter in. So, brothers and sisters, the Jerusalem of the Old Testament is earthly. It's on earth. Besides, it's of the flesh. It is according to the law. It's of the letter. But the heavenly Jerusalem is spiritual. It's in the spirit. And besides, it's living, full of life. And besides, it's heavenly. it is totally different than the earthly one. Although in principle it has not changed, yet there's a big change in its nature. One is of the flesh, and one is of the spirit. One is of the earth, and the other is of the heavens. But the name Jerusalem and the spiritual significance is the same. Do not say that, oh, there's a Jerusalem in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament it's no more. That is why, if you are not in your spirit, it is very difficult for you to understand, and you cannot see it either. Nor can you enter in. You can only come to the earthly one. But today, the church is the Jerusalem of the New Testament age. It is a New Testament Jerusalem. It's hard to describe this using our human words because our mind is earthly. We people are not spiritual, although we are born again. 1 Corinthians tells us, although the church in Corinth and all the brothers and sisters in the church in Corinth were saved and they were Christians, but Paul told them, I cannot speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to fleshly men, because you are babes in Christ. You fight with one another. There's envy and strife, and each one is doing his own thing, and there is sin. There's contention. There's all kinds of things. So Paul said that you are fleshly. Do not think that Christians cannot be fleshly. There are too many Christians who are fleshly. Our flesh is exactly the same as the flesh of an unbeliever. It's no different. It's not any better than theirs. Sometimes it's even more troublesome than they are, because we have added an element in that's called religion. So it's more troublesome. Our hypocrisy is much worse. We appear to be very holy. When we appear to really love the Lord, and we carry a smile on our face, but actually within, we don't know what's going on in there. When they lose your temper, it's very ugly. It's very dreadful. When you see it, you'll be shocked. Truly so. Look at the Pharisees, the scribes, the high priests, and the elders. you cannot imagine that it's they who wanted to kill the Lord Jesus. The Israelites, the earthly Jews, the fleshly Israelites had lots of problems. That is why the Bible warns us. Do not be like them. Do not be like them. There are so many Israelites, so many Jews that came out of Egypt. The first generation all fell in the wilderness, all died in the wilderness. And they went into idolatry. When they went to Mount Sinai, Moses went up the mountain. And he was having fellowship with the Lord up there. And God gave him his commandments and his ordinances. And what were the Israelites doing at the bottom of the hill? It wasn't even 40 days yet, and they couldn't wait any longer. 40 days. Is that very long? A long time? That's quite short, right? 40 days. But they couldn't wait any longer. So they asked, told Aaron, please make us a golden bull. And they began to worship idols. It's like this. They began to worship idols. And they were dancing around. And they were behaving very loosely. God saw it from the mountain and told Moses, hurry up and go down there. Look at what those people are doing down there. Tell me, won't we do that also? They saw so many miracles in Egypt. And they went through the Red Sea. And they saw the mighty works of God. But at Mount Sinai, they could not even wait for 40 days. And they began to worship idols. And Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What did he say? Their history. I record it there as a warning to us so that we should not be like them. Do not think that Christians will not be like that, that they do not change. People change very quickly. They change quickly. It's very easy to fall, but it's hard to climb up the mountain. But if you roll down, you'll be down on the bottom very quickly. When man wants to fall into their flesh, they are in their flesh in an instant. They don't need to gradually get into their flesh. But brothers and sisters, we have to learn. Learn to be a person living in the Spirit. Do not ask me how. Of course, the Bible shows us a normal Christian life. you need to have a period of time to fellowship with the Lord daily. And our fellowship with the Lord is normal. If you want to be a spiritual person, yet you do not have this spiritual fellowship with the Lord and allow Him to shine on you, to sanctify you, to speak to you, do not keep talking and you don't listen to what He says. And you also need to read a little bit of God's Word to eat it into you. And you also need to learn to obey God's Word. Besides, the Holy Spirit indwells you. His work is to lead you, to teach you, to speak to you, to shine upon you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit within you. It doesn't mean to say it's very difficult to hear Him. No, it's not that hard. But it's because we do not pay attention. Oftentimes He tells you, don't do that, but you would go ahead and do it. He tells you to stop. Don't say that sentence, yet you still blurb it out. Do not scold people. You know for a fact that it's wrong, that you shouldn't do that. But if you do not scold people, you don't feel comfortable. Without scolding people, you don't feel comfortable. So, once you yell at people, you feel so comfortable. You can breathe again. That is not living in the Spirit. You are jealous of others. The Holy Spirit says, no, stop. Carry your own cross. And put to death your flesh. Do you want to do that? No? The Holy Spirit says, once, twice, 5 times, 10 times, you don't listen. And gradually, you can't hear Him anymore. If you do not listen to Him habitually, you will say, oh, it's very difficult to hear Him. I cannot hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit. How can that be? It's because you do not listen to Him habitually. You don't care about Him. You quench the feeling of the Holy Spirit. Would you still be able to hear Him? First Thessalonians chapter 5 says that, do not quench the Spirit. If you quench Him, would He still want to speak to you? If I speak to you and tell you 10 times and you do not listen to me, and I tell you another 10 times or 20 times, you still do not listen, I think I won't want to speak to you anymore. It's useless for me to speak to you. If I tell you 100 times and you still don't listen, if it were you, would you still want to speak to me? Really so? You're so patient. And you would tell me another 100 times. And if I still don't listen, what would you do? You'll stop talking. At the time of Eli, God stopped speaking. God did not speak. God did not speak. That is why It's recorded in Samuel that at the time of Eli, God rarely spoke. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. This morning I misspoke. My Chinese is not so fluent. I'm sorry. Oh, he misspoke in Chinese. It's not Eli's son-in-law, but it's Eli's daughter-in-law. But that was all in Chinese. So I ask for your forgiveness. But I also made another mistake this morning. It's not Psalm 139, but it's Psalm 147. That is a correction from this morning. My memory is a bit rusty now. But brothers and sisters, God wants to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. How come he won't speak to you? It's because we don't have an ear to hear. Paul said the same thing. He said it in Hebrews. He said, I have much to speak, say to you, but you are dull of hearing. You cannot take the word in. You're hard of hearing. You cannot take it in anymore. You don't want to listen anymore. You're bothered. Then what? Today, our brother, said to me that the Lord spoke in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 by himself. They didn't want to hear anymore, and the churches in Asia didn't want to hear Paul anymore. Then what should we do? Would you still be listening to the Holy Spirit? So we need to repent before the Lord. We have to be a person living in the Spirit. Why? Because if you're not in your Spirit, you would not know the heavenly Jerusalem. Today, the heavenly Jerusalem is in the Spirit. It doesn't mean that, oh, I'm in my Spirit. I don't need to be anywhere. I can worship anywhere. Oh, I'm in my Spirit. No, no. It's not like this. The Lord Jesus said, it's only in your Spirit that you can get to know the heavenly Jerusalem. If you're not in the Spirit, if you're not in Spirit, then you're not a living stone that is built up together with other stones. Peter says, you're built up into a spiritual house. Today, God's building is a spiritual building. It's not of the flesh. It's a different realm. It's a heavenly realm. That is why the Lord Jesus said one thing. My kingdom is not of this earth, not of this world. Because he came down from heaven. When he prayed, He also prayed in this way. He said, those who believe in me, although they are in the world, yet they are not of the world. But you and I, if we're not in the Spirit, you live in this world, and you are rooted and grounded in this world, and you love the world, and you love the flesh, and you're for yourself, and you want to be number one. You want to control others, and you want others to listen to you. And you no longer listen to God. That is why in the Spirit is very important. We did not read Galatians. Let's read Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 tells us, beginning with verse 21. Paul mentions two covenants. One is the old covenant that is earthly, that is of the law, it's of the flesh. The other one is a new covenant that is heavenly, it's spiritual. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, So you need to understand what the law is, that Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondwoman, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is in Palestine. And the earthly Jerusalem is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Amen. Bible. Do you read it back and forth? from Hagar and Sarah, we read about these two women, yet we do not read, out of it, we do not read the two covenants, right? You read Genesis concerning Abraham and Sarah. And also the birth of Ishmael through Hagar. The two women, the two children, can you read out of this the two covenants? Do you have that ability? It's not a matter of ability, but it is a revelation that God gave to him. It's easy to read Revelation, to read the book of Genesis. What you read is not the same as what Paul read. Paul told us there are two covenants, and there are also two Jerusalem. There are two sons. There's Old Testament, there's an Old Covenant and there's a New Covenant. One is the earthly Jerusalem, which is of the flesh. Besides, it has to do with the law. And the other one is spiritual. It's heavenly. It's a heavenly Jerusalem. Besides, it's the mother of us all. Oh, you even have a mother. Who is your mother? Because we are all of the Jerusalem, born of the Spirit, through the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, through our faith in Jesus Christ, we were born of the Spirit. We are heavenly. Yes. That is why today's Jerusalem is heavenly. Tell me, is it easy to build? Are we building here an earthly or a heavenly Jerusalem? I have to ask you all. What are we building here? Is it earthly or is it heavenly? Ask yourself. If you say you're building a heavenly one, fine. How do you build? How do you build? Do you just come to the meeting every day? You just sit there, listen to a message. After you're done, and you just fall asleep. And on one hand, you're sleeping there, you're listening. On the other hand, if you cannot fall asleep at night, then you come to the meeting on the Lord's Day, and you can fall asleep there. Tell me, is that heavenly? I heard it in many places. The brothers and sisters tell me, we come empty, and we go home empty. We didn't get anything. Is this a spiritual condition? Why do you come empty? For the heavenly Jerusalem, it doesn't want you to come empty-handed. but you should bring spiritual offerings to offer to the Father. So if you come empty, you are no longer in the heavenly Jerusalem. And you leave empty, much less is that the heavenly Jerusalem. I'm sorry, I'll crack a joke here. In English, I told some brothers and sisters, you came hungry, but you went home angry. When you came empty, and you went home angrily. You went home angrily. I came in vain. And so when you go home, you're angry. You didn't get anything. If this is the situation, brothers, I am not joking now. Is this a heavenly Jerusalem? Have we not thought about it? I'm not criticizing you. But I want everyone to wake up. To change anew. To pray. You need to pray, Lord. The church in our locality should be a heavenly church. Then you have to be a heavenly person. Because if you and I are not a spiritual and heavenly person, how can the church become spiritual and heavenly? If you are a person who lives in the flesh, and I also am a person who lives in the flesh, if we come together, would we be heavenly? Is that possible? From Monday through to Saturday, you're in your soul, you're in living in yourself. And you come to the meeting on the Lord's Day and suddenly you become heavenly. Is that possible? Aren't you deceiving yourself? Or are you deceiving God? Can you deceive Him? That's why I hope all of you can see this point. Now, since it is heavenly in nature, besides it's also spiritual, the Bible also says the heavenly Jerusalem, the church today, cannot be built by man's hands. A long time ago it said in Isaiah, let's read. So firstly, let's look at Acts chapter 7. This chapter is also quite wonderful. You all know about Stephen. Stephen. He was a relatively young one, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was also filled with heavenly wisdom. He gave a very living testimony there. When it comes to verse 48, let's talk about verse 46. What did he say? David, because God found David. David found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Thank the Lord. Tell me, who could build better? Was it David or was it Solomon? Tell me, who saw it first? David. How come it wasn't David who built it? If you were David, hey God, did you make a mistake? It was I who is after your heart, and I saw the church. I should be the one who builds, right? If you're a suck, he says, right. He thought it through. How come it's up to my young son to build? Is my son more capable than I? A young man. How can he build? It's me. David. Look, I was such a big seat. I have such a high position. I am big. I'm David. Isn't that good? How come my little son should go and build? If you were David, how would you feel? No one dares to say anything. It was I. How come? I should be the one to build. Did David say that? Was he envious of his son Solomon? No. Why not? Because it was God who spoke to him. It's God's temple. Let God decide whom God wants to build. God said, no, it's not you, but your son who will build. Would you be willing? Would you let go? My son, how come? I have been in the church 40, 50 years. And he has no experience at all. Wouldn't you say that? Who should build? Solomon. But Solomon built him a house. It's very strange. What did Stephen say? However, that building is not the real one. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. and was quite enlightened in his reading of the scriptures. God said, the Lord said, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? I've built it all. What can you build? What I want is not what I made. If what I want is what I made, I can just say a word and in a minute it'll be there. Would he need 2,000 years and for you to work so hard? You have to remember this word. What house will you build for me? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? Today, we're building the Church of God. We've been building and working so hard for so many years, and in the end, it turns bitter. It's corrupt. It happens again. Problem arises again. Why? Because man's hand got involved. Are your hands clean? First of all, they're unclean. Second, you're not capable. Your two hands can only do something earthly. It can only build this meeting hall. It's quite good. But God's house, God's church, is heavenly. The true church, the real temple, the real Jerusalem, the real tabernacle, the holy place is heavenly. The book of Hebrews tells us it's not what man's hands can build. More or less, we have gone through some things of the older ones that are seated here. You've seen too much and you've gone through quite a lot. You've gone through many problems, no matter what country. Why? What can my two hands do? How about yours? Yes, you're very capable. But they're limited to earthly things. There's no way. Whatever is man-made, the Bible guarantees us. God rejects. I don't care how will you build, how great, how successful, and how tall the building is? You may say, oh, look, God has blessed us. Wow. We're all built by man's hands. Do not do that kind of a building. God does not want it. If you do it, God would purposely come shake it a little bit. He'll come shake it. And it all collapses. We may think that, oh, it's man who is causing trouble and there's so many problems. It's all because of this and because of that. And then it all crumbles down. The Bible says, it's God's shaking. God shakes, and everything collapses. Why? Because everything that's built by man's hands, everything that's of such a building, everything that is created will shake and will be removed. When you go home, read it again. We don't have time. When the Lord ascended into the heavens, Hebrews tells us, he entered into the heavenly tabernacle, not built by man's hands. Can you enter in? Can you? Yes, but you have to be in your spirit. It's not in the future. The book of Hebrews says it's today. We have come to the heavenly Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Is the church of the firstborn. And God himself is the judge of all. It's not simple at all. That is why today, through all things that have happened for so many years, I kept asking the Lord, Lord, how are you building? What kind of a building is this? Goes up and it crumbles again. And then we do it over again, and then it all collapses again. The young brothers asked me, after you've gone through, how many times have you experienced this? And I told them at least 7 to 8 times. From the time I graduated from high school. I have seen this. Up until today. Tell me. You have seen so much. Wouldn't you go ask God, is this your building? Did you not say? It says, the church that you built, the gates of Hades cannot prevail. Again and again and once again. So I tell the Lord, Lord, I think it's not possible. Forget it. I give up. I surrender. It doesn't work. I resigned. I will retire. What should be done? The Lord showed us why it is like this. Because this building is not what man's hands can build. I finally understood. Oh Lord, forgive me. When our hands get involved and we use man's methods and we use man's ability and we use man's thoughts and ideas, in the end, you do so much, in the end, the church becomes yours. Then what? Then what? God comes and shakes it. God said, once again, I will shake. And you would think, oh God, how many times will you shake? He said, whatever is man-made, I will shake. I don't care how many times. If you do it 100 times, God will shake it 100 times. That is why Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Eventually, it'll be all be burnt up. We'll continue the fellowship tomorrow. But I hope you would keep these words well in your hearts and bring them before the Lord to pray. Ask the Lord and go search the scriptures again. Do not think that the building of the Lord's church is simple and easy. If it were easy, God would have finished the job a long time ago. He wouldn't have to wait for 2,000 years, and yet today it's still a mess. So may the Lord have mercy on us.